Turn your Bibles, if you will, to Proverbs chapter 19. Proverbs chapter 19, and we continue our study in this book of Proverbs. Solomon speaking to his children, the Lord, our Heavenly Father, speaking to us, and we have this from the Lord, and it's a great book, and these Proverbs that are here. Granted, a lot of redundancy. There's repetition in it, and different ways of saying things. The Lord knows what we need, and so we need to hear Him. We need to hear Him speaking to us. And I'm glad that He gives it to us in different ways, because there's some things I don't understand. We might say it another way that I would get it. And so the Lord is wise in those things and wise in that way. We need to feed upon this. This is good instruction just for day-to-day life. This is what the Lord tells us that He expects of us, what He's looking for, as we walk from day-to-day with Him. And so we need to be filled up with it. And so I encourage you, read this book. Read the book of Ecclesiastes. Of course, all the Bible is good. We need to know about the Lord Jesus Christ, and so we need to know about the Gospels. Every child of God needs to have a filling with the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. That tells about the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ, the fulfillment of many prophecies in the Old Testament. And yes, this book's big, and there's a lot to learn, and you won't learn it all before you die, but there's some good places to start, and at least try, okay? Don't because it's so great. Don't just say, "Well, it's just so great. I'm not going to try anything." Take the Word of God, feed upon it, and there is a blessing indeed for those who do. Here in Proverbs chapter 19, we took a look at this verse. Better is the poor that walketh in his integrity, or his innocence. Okay, not being guilty of sinning against God. When the issue comes at hand, that we can say, "No, I'm not guilty of that." Okay, we know we're not going to be perfectly sinless. We know that it just can't be that we would achieve sinless perfection in this flesh, but there is instruction and there is obedience that we can accomplish. We avail ourselves of the power of God, prayer, asking the Lord to help us. I was thinking today about the Lord there in Gethsemane as He prayed, and as we have that account in John chapter 17, the Lord Jesus Christ prayed, and I've mentioned this to you recently about keeping His children from the evil. And I think that the evil, if I understand that right, if we can just boil that down to its most basic, base level element, it's that of faith or not faith. We need to believe the Lord. We need to believe Him unto action, believe Him unto obedience. And then I was thinking about Peter, how it was with Peter when the Lord Jesus Christ was there, and Peter and some of the other disciples, the apostles, said that they would go with Him to the death. Peter said that he would stand with the Lord and that he would die with the Lord. And the Lord gave him the news that, "Peter, Satan hath desired to sift you like wheat, but I've prayed for thee, and that thy faith fail not. And when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren." And so, you know, it's an evil day. It's a wicked day. I told the brethren in our prayer class Sunday, you know, if there's anything that's happening at Olmsted Baptist Church that's pleasing to the Lord, it's displeasing to Satan. And that makes us, our obedience and pursuit of what the Lord has given and what the Lord has told us to pursue, the service that we have, the worship that we have of the Lord, the doctrine that He's given us to stand in, if we're doing that pleasing to the Lord, if there's blessing in that way, there's going to be potentially attack from Satan. And we need to be aware of that. He goes about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. And may God keep us from the evil. May the Lord keep us from the evil. If the Lord allows us to be sifted some, may the Lord bless that our faith fail not. May God help us. And those are good things to pray for, that the Lord would help us and keep us. And as we saw there with the the church at Thessalonica that we would be established, we would stand in the Lord. And so we need to pray that for ourselves, pray that one for another. I ask you to pray that for me unto the Lord. Ask that of the Lord for me and your prayers for me. Verse number 2 here in Proverbs 19. Also that the soul be without knowledge is not good, and he that hasteth with his feet sinneth. To be without knowledge, it's just going to be nowhere. Ignorance is not bliss. Okay, it's not that many people are proud in ignorance, but it's nothing to be proud in. We need to be ashamed of our ignorance. We need to be gaining on the knowledge of God, and to be without knowledge is not good. Why? Because then you don't know. You and I don't know, and we'll go into a wayward way. We'll go in a way that we'll get tripped up. He that hasteth with his feet sinneth. Is that saying haste makes waste? Is that what that is? I thought of this verse and considering that in Exodus 23, verse 2, thou shalt not follow a multitude to do evil, neither shalt thou speak in a cause to decline after many to wrest judgment. Okay, so there's submitting there to peer pressure to turn what's right. There's following after a multitude when you don't, just because the multitude's going doesn't mean that it's right. In our day, if the multitude's going there, it's probably telling that it's wrong. Okay, you know, so we need to not be hasty. If we are hasty, if we are quick to obey, is that good? All right. If we are hasty to move for the sake of moving, well, when we don't know what to do, then we just need not do anything but do what we know to do. Amen. Okay? Sometimes it is so, say, well, we just need to do something. We just need to do something. I had a boss that would tell me that. Just do something. Right or wrong, do something. Well, that's not good, is it? It's not at all. Verse 3, the foolishness of man perverteth his way. It makes it perverse. And his heart, listen to this, fretteth against the Lord. That word fretteth, it's talking about boiling up, to be peevish or angry, to be sad or sad sack, maybe. You know, if in our way, the way that we trod in the course of life, those things that the Lord allows to come our way, those things that the Lord brings our way, are we going to get upset at God about those things? Sometimes I just know myself. Something's not going right, dropping everything. Seems like I drop things more now than I used to. But I'm in a hurry. Got to get a thing done. And if things aren't fitting in where I'm putting them, I'm getting the wrong stuff, I'm forgetting this, it's not going right, and I get upset. Who am I getting upset at? Now, if I'm being hasty, I need to slow down, okay? And just because I want it to be, or I don't need to think that I can will a thing to be. Sometimes I'll do that. I'll think, you stinking thing, why won't you just stay where I put you? But, gravity's at hand and the laws of physics are at hand. I can't change that. And to fret about those things, when it really gets down to it, I'm quarreling with the Lord about things, okay? Not my mistake or not my error, but we pray, Lord, protect us. Lord, watch over us. Lord, help us. And if the Lord's going to keep me out of a wreck or getting run over by a tractor or getting off into something at the time that would be harm to me, does He not know how to slow me down? And yeah, He does. And so we don't need to haste with our feet. And we don't need to fret against the Lord, boil up at the Lord. Sometimes we get upset with ourselves. We need to be careful that we're not getting upset with the Lord, okay? And so may the Lord help us in that. There's fine lines in some of that, but may we consider that we not fret. Foolishness, the foolishness of a man perverteth his way, and his heart fretteth against the Lord. May we not fret or be angry against our Lord. Think of Jonah. Wasn't Jonah? He was angry with the Lord, wasn't he? We've got other brethren in the scripture that they just didn't understand about things, and they were honest with the Lord. Isaiah, Lord, who hath believed our report, and to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? Isaiah had expectation that folks would listen to the preaching that the Lord bid him do. I think that's what he's saying there. But then he was honest with the Lord, but then the Lord showed him and helped him. I think Habakkuk was that way, wasn't he? He just was in quandary about what was going on in the nation and what the Lord had called him to be a prophet and what he was doing. He just didn't get it, but the Lord helped him to understand it. And so may we not fret against the Lord. Verse 4, wealth maketh many friends, but the poor is separated from his neighbor. We've seen that verse before relative to others. In verse number 7, all the brethren of the poor do hate him. How much more do his friends go far from him? He pursueth them with words, yet they are wanting to him. You know, if the Lord's blessed us, and in our country, I mean, by the standards of the world, everybody that lives in our country is rich, is wealthy, and we have a multitude of vehicles, and we have houses to live in, and provision, and clothes. There's some people in the world that don't know where their next meal is coming from, and that's I find it hard to believe that that's the case in this country, because we've got provision and program and all kinds of things, but those that are truly poor are indeed separated, but wealth does make many friends. May we not seek the friendship of folks because of their wealth. May we not be a respecter of persons. The value of every soul is great before the Lord. Verse 5, a false witness shall not be unpunished. The Lord takes note of that. And he that speaketh lies shall not escape. I thought of the song, Be not dismayed, whate'er betide. God will take care of you, okay? And we sing that song on the positive note, but it can be to the negative too, can it? A false witness shall not be unpunished. Lying will not be tolerated by the Lord. It may take a while, we think, mankind think, for the Lord to catch up with them, but every secret thing is going to be revealed. Everything that was declared and spoken in the closet or in secret is going to be proclaimed on the housetop. And may we as the Lord's people, may we not be found liars. May we not bear false witness. I think that commandment, and we'll look at that in a minute, but that commandment brings an element about lying in that we lie on another to their hurt. And we'll look at that in verse 9. Many will entreat, verse number 6, the favor of the prince. Yeah, it's good to be on the side of the good, have the good side of the prince on your side, isn't it? And every man is a friend to him that giveth gifts. Yeah, everybody likes a gift giver. And then we've looked at that. May we not give gifts with the wrong motive, okay? And sometimes the gifts are appropriate, but may we not do so with the wrong motive. Verse 7, all the brethren of the poor do hate him. How much more do his friends go far from him? He pursueth them with words, yet they are wanting to him. There's little that he can say to seek their help or seek their favor. There's nothing about him when the way the world operates that they would care anything about him. Verse 8, he that getteth wisdom loveth his own soul, and he that keepeth understanding shall find good. You love the wisdom of the Lord, you love your own soul. Because what God says is good and right and perfect and eternal, and if we apply ourselves to it, there's a blessing in it. Speaking relative to the children of God, indeed, but even to the sinner that will obey the principle of God's word, even without their soul being saved, they will be spared much grief in this life by obeying the wisdom of the Lord. And of course, we point all sinners to Christ, okay? But there is a blessing. The Lord knows what's good and right. A false witness shall not be unpunished. And he, verse 9, and he that speaketh lies, shall perish. Okay, and so in comparison to this verse and then verse number 5, the front end is the same. A false witness shall not be unpunished. The Lord will bring it to judgment. And he that speaketh lies shall not escape, verse 5. There's no escaping to the speaker of lies. And verse number 9, he that speaketh lies shall perish. He will come to an end. Okay? In Exodus chapter 20, verse 16, the ninth commandment, thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. It's the pinnacle of this issue of lying, is not to lie just for self, not to keep, as we did when we were a child, or I hope we haven't done when we've been older, to keep ourselves out of trouble, but maybe we have. May the Lord help us and we not do those kind of things. We can, when the pressure's on, we can be tempted to lie, can't we? We can be. The temptation is real. You know, but the temptation's not the sin. It's when we lie. That's the sin. That's the disobedience. But then, in dealing with this thing of lying, thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. To lie on another. To lie on another person and get them in trouble. Okay? Matthew will be okay. His daddy will take care of him. All right, I know that's hard not to pay attention to him. All right, but to lie on his neighbor, to lie on another person to get something to happen to them, God reckons that. In Colossians chapter 3, turn over there if you will. Colossians chapter 3. This is to the church at Colossae. These are children of God. These are members of one of the Lord's churches, and the apostle writes to them these words in Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3, verse number 9. You know, do you want to be a complainer? I don't want to be a complainer. Okay? But if my brother or sister asks me what's going on, there's that fine line between just telling what they want to hear and then really telling the truth sometimes. And we need not be, we don't want to be a complainer, but we do need to be honest. And we need to understand that we are to be at hand to bear one another's burdens. Okay? And so we need to put these things in the right place. In Colossians chapter 3, I find it interesting that if the apostle writes, He says in verse 8 to put off some things. And then he says in verse 9, lie not one to another. If they're being told, then they're subject to it. May the Lord help us. Lie not one to another, seeing that you have put off the old man with his deeds. We've looked much about the old man and that warfare within us on Sunday mornings. And have, verse 10, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is all in all. And so we need not lie one to another. May God help us that we not lie one to another, but always speak the truth. Back in Proverbs 19, verse number 10, delight is not seemly for a fool, or pleasantness, or delicateness, or whatever. It doesn't fit, much less for a servant to have rule over princes. A prince is one that's been put there, and we know that the Lord ordains leadership all the way around. He does so, whether good or bad. We need to pray for our rulers. Our country is different in the representative government and the representative republic that we have, and the way that operates, it's very different than what other nations over time have had. Nevertheless, it's inordinate for one that is not equipped or able to rule over one that is, much less for a servant to have rule over princes. Delight is not seemly for a fool. What will happen with delicateness and luxury and pleasantness and that, it can be a ruination of anybody, but a fool that doesn't have sense to be able to lead to start with, it'll indeed be much more of a ruination, much less for a servant to have rule over princes. Verse 11, the discretion of a man deferreth his anger. And that discretion is talking about knowledge or his policy or prudence, his sense, his understanding, his wisdom, being wise, rather than blowing up, rather than popping off quick. Think. Talk to the Lord. Understand what is right. It's not necessarily wrong to become angry. But what happens is when we become angry, We can let that anger turn into things from our mouth or our hands or our feet. We can let that turn into wrath, if you will, and we can have problems. But the discretion of a man deferreth his anger. You know what? It's best just to deal with things as they come and deal with them right. If we find ourselves in a situation where one needs rebuke, that we rebuke them with a right way, in a right tone, in a right manner, from what the Word of God says, and that we just seek to make a policy with ourselves that we not be ever angry. Okay? And I'm not talking about just being plain vanilla, okay? But put away, he said here in Colossians, in chapter 3, verse 8, now put off all these, anger, wrath, malice. It's just better if we just don't get angry, but deal with things as they come in a right way. That is the best. And the discretion of a man deferreth his anger. And it is a glory, verse number 11 in the latter part, it's a glory to pass over a transgression. Now, we've got to be careful with that. It's not talking about letting people off for sin. We dealt with a verse similar to this in chapter 17, verse number 9. He that covereth a transgression seeketh love, but he that repeateth a matter separateth very friends. We've got to be careful how we apply these verses, okay? It's not saying that there's a sin or transgression, say, by our children or by public sin by the membership of the church. And that we just because of love we just let it slide, we just let it pass. If it's something that needs to be dealt with, we need to deal with it in the right way. It is a glory to pass over a transgression. But what is the transgression? Maybe you say something to me that I wish you wouldn't say it that way. Well, you know what? It's better for me just to forgive and let that go on and pass. It is. Just let that pass. Well, they didn't mean it that way. You know, speaking to self. Or, you know, I forgive them. I know they love me overall, and that was just one of those tough times. Maybe I bugged them. And you know, it's glory to pass over a transgression. In Proverbs 17:9, he that covereth a transgression seeketh love. You know, we consider this, and I think we can apply it to this verse 11 too, that when you and I are guilty of sinning against our Lord, our fellowship with Him is broken, right? Indeed it is. When we repent, we are forgiven, are we not? Indeed we are. Does the Lord then remind us of sinning, of that sin anymore? No, He doesn't beat us up with that. Do we want to make people pay when they transgress against us? Our Lord doesn't. He doesn't, does He? When we repent, He forgives us. Amen? And so we need to be that way too. Do we still have to reap what we've sown? Yeah, that's there. That law is there. It's just like gravity. But then this I see and I believe in this here in verse 11, glory to pass over a transgression. A transgression's been transgressed. It's been repented of. It's been forgiven. And then just pass over it. Leave it alone and let it be. Let it pass. Let it be covered over so that we not bring that up. The Lord doesn't bring those things back up to us when we repent. And then don't be a tell-bearer. Don't be telling it to others. Have discretion. Don't tell things that don't need to be told. And then, of course, always remember our motive when we tell things. So the discretion of a man deferreth his anger. It takes and says, no, I'm not going to be angry about that. It needs to be dealt with. Deal with it in the right way. And it is a glory indeed to pass over a transgression. You know, sometimes there's times that we do need to be merciful. The Lord likes mercy. He likes mercy. And so, may your brother or sister offend you. Maybe it's just time for you and I just to be merciful and let it pass. But then if we can't let it pass, may we remember what the Scripture tells us in Matthew 18 to deal with it right. Okay, those things are there. That'll result in a good thing, as hard as it may seem. Verse number 12. The king's wrath is as the roaring of a lion, but his favor is as dew upon the grass. And so when the king gets upset, it's bad, isn't it? I mean, because everything at his disposal may be aimed at you. But his favor is as the dew on the grass. You know, the dew on the grass, is that's pleasant in the morning. Now, it's not real pleasant for me to walk through the dew in the grass in the morning barefoot. I don't like that. It gives me the creeps. Maybe you like it, okay? But the dew on the grass, it's just really neat to see that. And that's the Lord's working, and the favor of the king is that way. The dew on the grass, when the dew comes, it's widespread, isn't it? And the favor of the king, widespread, is indeed a blessing. Verse 13, a foolish son is the calamity of his father. Oh, may the Lord help us that we raise our children, raise our sons, raise our daughters to where they would not be a calamity unto us. You know, children need to give rest to the parents. I know when they're little, don't feel like get much rest. But the end of that thing needs to be where the children can be a blessing to the parents. Not just a calamity, not just always a problem, always an issue. And there's much work to be done. But as they move on to being young adults and adults, may the Lord help us that we raise our children in the fear, nurture, and admonition of the Lord, that we raise them to be a good citizen of society, and they be a blessing to people, blessing to others, and a blessing to us. And then it says, and the contentions of a wife are a continual dropping. Here it is. You brethren say, better you, Brother Jim, than me. Listen, we men, we need to understand how our wives, how our daughters, how they are. I'm not saying I'm the perfect example of getting this right, but women have a need to communicate. They do. They're that way. And they compliment us. We husbands, we don't necessarily have a need to communicate, okay? And everybody's different. But they have a need to communicate. And so the thing is her contentions can be the case when you and I don't listen. But if that, our wives are half of us, and we need to be sensitive to their needs. We need to be sensitive to our own flesh, our own flesh's needs, and that's by being sensitive to the needs of our wife. Okay? And so, if our wives have a need, may God help us that we take it and deal with it well and as appropriate, that it not turn into a continual dropping. Okay? There's a balance in all things. If our wives tell us that they have a need, they should tell us, and we should listen, and we should act on what is needful and appropriate. Sometimes, fellas, the needs of our wives make no sense to us. But because they don't make sense to us doesn't mean that they're not real. Yeah, that's right. Just because we don't understand them doesn't mean that they're not real. Because listen, would you want to get up in the morning and look over there and see you as your wife? It'd be no good, would it? So that's the reason the Lord's made it that a man and I'm not wanting to be weird or sick or anything like that, but if they were like us, then where would the compliment be? Yeah, where would the compliment be? But they are not like us. But they are complementary to us. And so just because they don't think or operate like a man, that's good because they are women. And so we need to understand that. And the Scripture's plain about this. So if our wives have a need, they should tell us. And we should listen. And we should act on what is needful and appropriate, that it not come turn into a legitimate contention and a continual dropping. There's balance in all things. They should not nag, and we should listen and do for them as is pleasing to the Lord. Just like the Lord would do for His church. Neither one taking advantage of the other, but doing and taking care of our wives as the Lord would the church. In 1 Peter chapter 3, turn over here. Here's a command from the Lord through our brother Peter. In 1 Peter chapter 3, It says here, likewise, verse number 7, likewise ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge. You're going to have to learn about her. You and I are going to have to learn about our individual wives, our own wife, your wife. You have to learn about them, even though you may not understand about them. Okay? Because we don't think alike. We don't operate alike. We may develop a husband and a wife, being married for a number of years. It can even happen, and it's happened to Clarissa and I. We've been married long enough that we're driving down the road and we see a thing, we know what the other one's thinking. She'll say one thing and I'll finish it, and then we know we've had the conversation and haven't even talked. Okay? But then if she wants to talk about it, I need to listen. Okay? Okay. That's supposed to be a little humorous there. You missed it. All right, thank you. All right, but we need to learn about them and understand them. Just because they're different from us, we need to enjoy that they are different from us. We need to know that what they need, their needs, and what they desire is important. And we need to learn about that, not just say, well, you're not like me, so you don't think like me, so you're just out of this, and I'm going to do all the thinking, and that's it. You'll end up with contention that way. And you'll be driving away from the land of blessing. Okay? Listen to what this says. Likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel. Yeah, she may not have as much grit as you or determination as you or be as tough as you in some things. I want nothing to do with the child labor thing, you know, the childbirth thing. She's tougher than me in that, okay? But see, there might be things that we just say, quit worrying about it, don't think about it. But they might be worried about it. They might be thinking about it, and we need to help them in that. They are the weaker vessel. They're just physically not as strong, and generally in most cases as we are. They're not, they're more sensitive than we are. We can have somebody say something to us and just, you know, just shrug it off. Something said to them might really bug them. Okay? And so they are the weaker vessel. The Lord's told us that. But listen to this. Likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge. Learn about them in every respect, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel. Honor her as the weaker vessel and as being heirs together of the grace of life. Don't cultivate that relationship. Don't pay attention to that other half. Don't nurture that flesh as your own flesh. Things are going to be hindered. Things are going to be not as good as they could be because we're heirs together of the grace of life. A saved husband, saved wife, that's the way it's to be. Are heirs together. We're both joint heirs of Christ. May we not treat a joint heir of Christ poorly. Amen? And may we all seek to do what's right. Being heirs together of grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. It says there, if that's our relationship's not right, we're not being sensitive to our wives, our wives not being sensitive to the husband, we're not working and complimenting one another, learning about one another, the husband learning about the wife. And even though we may not understand, but if they speak it, if they say it, it's important to them, and may we value that because it does come from our spouse, from our wife. We don't want our prayers hindered, do we? But it says here that if we don't pay attention to that, brethren, our prayers will be hindered. In Ephesians chapter 5, verse 28, so ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. And we take care of ourselves pretty well, don't we, fellas? We do. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. And that's just not saying, I love you. But that's talking about that kind of love that's got legs on it. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. Christ is our example, fellas. That's the example. The way the Lord treats the church is the way we need to treat and pursue our wives and look to their care. For we are members of His body and of His flesh. and of his bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. And so every man's interested in his own skin, needs to be interested in hers too. And so may the Lord help us in that. A foolish son is indeed a calamity to his father, but the contentions of a wife are a continual dropping. Ladies, handle your needs and your communication with your husband right, that it not being a nagging thing. Brethren, may we listen to our wives and do for them as the Lord would be pleased for us to do for them, that they not be a legitimate continual dropping and there be a contention there. Verse 14, back in Proverbs 19. Verse 14. Houses and riches are the inheritance of fathers. Houses and riches are the inheritance of fathers. That's what fathers leave. Houses and riches. It's a testimony of their financial success and how they've laid up in store for their children. There's a blessing in that. The world in which we live today works hard against that. And it is so that maybe the inheritance that one would leave wouldn't be financial, but may we certainly leave a spiritual inheritance to our children first. It's good to leave stuff to our children, but may we leave them a godly legacy and example first, that they know that their father, that they know that their mother followed the Lord Jesus and pointed them to that. And then the latter part of this scripture, and a prudent wife is from the Lord. A prudent wife. A woman that has good success, that is able to teach, that has understanding, that's wise, that knows how to do things, that is active in the operation of the home, and seeks to the good welfare of her husband, seeks to the good welfare of her children, she is indeed from the Lord. Young men, you need to pray that the Lord will give you a good, godly wife. If you're not saved, you need to be saved. And you need to pray for a wife that's saved. And need to pray. And I've thought about this and said, you know, it's been asked over time. Said, Brother Jim, what do you tell folks that aren't saved? Listen, you need to seek the face of the Lord in being saved. And then you need to listen and hear what the Lord says in His Word. And if you're not saved, you need to desire to be saved. And then if you seek to be married even before you're saved, and I wouldn't say that I would recommend that, but we don't know the Lord's working in people's lives. But you look to the Word of God and what the Word of God says, and you abide by that, and you look for somebody that's like-minded. That's the thing that I know to say. And look for obedience to the Word of God. You need to obey the Word of God. And you need to seek the Lord's face. You need to repent of your sins and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Look to Him for salvation. But if that's not the case with you, and you would consider others to marry, you need to look for somebody that's of at least of like mind like yourself. Those who are saved need to marry the saved, and those who are not do not need to marry the saved. It's just an unequal yoke indeed. But you need to abide by the Word of God and look for one that considers that the Word of God is important. A prudent wife, one that is able to teach, has good success, has understanding, has wisdom, is indeed a blessing from the Lord.